I would like to introduce our main speaker for this evening, Vinny D. from San Diego, by way...
Recovered alcoholic. My name is Vinny.
Vinny.
Hey, I'm so grateful to be here. Thanks, guys. And I just want to share something really quick. If it's okay, I've never been in a situation where I felt this on my heart, but recently we just lost a friend of ours to this disease. And I just want to have a quick moment of silence for everyone, everywhere, suffering. It's all about God. It's not about me. And sometimes I don't even know what that looks like. So, my first drink was, I was probably 6 years old, and my dad and all my uncles were getting together, playing cards, cigars, the whole nine. And I was born and raised in the Bronx in New York in a pretty rough neighborhood. And it was normal to yell, scream, curse, and fight. That was a love and affection. That's the only way I knew, you know? And plus, we're Italian, so it makes it even worse. Mixed with a little Irish. So that's where the drinking came from, I think. But at least I like to say that. So I just remember excitement around alcohol, okay? At an early age, I just remember a lot of excitement. And that was attractive to me. I like to be excited. I'm a very fast-paced individual, high energy. So I was attracted to whatever they were doing. I didn't even know much. I just remember grabbing them Heinekens and taking a sip and giving it to him and not knowing what was, I don't even remember. I just hated the taste, but I liked the effect. So it was probably years later, my family decided to move to the suburbs. And I was 14 at the time, and this was my first experience of feeling a lot of pressure, a lot of anxiety, not knowing what it was. They said they weren't going to move unless I was okay with it, and I'm the baby, right? I got two older brothers, and I got an older sister. And looking back at it now, that's crazy, all the pressure that was put on. But, you know, they did the best they could. They just wanted to see me be okay. So I just said yes, and inside I was saying no. So I moved, and I was alone a lot. They commuted back and forth to the city to work, and I was alone a lot. And I just remember what would give me excitement, what would, you know, fill that time. And, you know, we attract ourselves, right? So I found the two roughest kids in the neighborhood, and I started drinking. And I remember immediately the first experience. I was 15 years old. We paid somebody to get us a six-pack of Schaefer. They got it. Yeah, right? I didn't know. So there was three of us. And we said, all right, we're going to have two each, you know? So we're going to do shotguns so we get the most out of it. So I was like, whatever. Someone knew how to do it. I didn't, so we did it. And I remember immediately, I was like, that's awesome. I want another one. Like, yeah, you get two. So I got the second one. And I just remember feeling ease and comfort. 100%. It was awesome. And I remember looking over, and the one friend was throwing up. He didn't want the third one. Or the second one, rather. He didn't want the second one. So now me and my other guy, friend, was fighting who's going to have the second one. And because I was a bully, I guess, I beat him to it, and I had the third one. So, and then I remember blacking out. I don't remember much after that. So that was my first experience. Now, there's a lot of experiences up until I came to AA, and they're all the same. And what I mean by that is when things got tough, when things got hard, alcohol worked and some other dry substances, but alcohol worked. It did its job. And So that's what I sought. I sought through that for the solution. As time went on, I realized I couldn't hold a job for long. I couldn't hold a relationship for long. So things were happening pretty quick, and I was seeing, I guess you want to call it the unmanageability part, right? What I realized, it was just alcoholism. You know, it's just drinking. So I didn't know anything about AA. I didn't know anything about recovery. I vaguely knew things about God because I heard people talk about it. I really, my family wasn't, my mom and dad were raised Catholic, and they left the church, and that's how I was raised, with experiences of all their bad experiences of Catholicism. That's the best way I could word it. So I pretty much was talking to my grandmother and my aunt. Those are the two people in my life when I was younger. They were very strong spiritually. They were very connected with the church. So that's where I drew from. But I got to be honest, you know, in 1999, I was in another relationship. She left me. I was hurt. For the first time, I started feeling feelings like I did when I was 14 and 15 before I found alcohol. And I didn't like it much, but I knew where my life was going. So I knew something was wrong, and I didn't know what the answer was. I didn't know what the truth was. The only thing I knew was I didn't want to feel the pain anymore. So circumstances, my brother, and I thank God for him every day, he came into my life as I was in a new relationship, and this one wasn't going so well. And he moved back from the city to the suburbs, because when we moved up, he stayed. And he was 148 pounds, and he had a cane, and I didn't recognize him. And he needed help, and he wanted to go to a rehab. So with that experience, he goes to rehab, and make a long story short, you know what happens, 28 days, he comes out, he's 190 pounds, he's glowing, he's smiling, he's going to meetings, he's doing step work, he has a sponsor, and all this stuff is happening real fast, and I was supporting him. I was going with what I'm saying, I'm a visitor, and I'm enjoying this, this is nice, I'm supportive of my brother, and then he asked me to give him his first year token, and I remember I was very uncomfortable in a large room, and it was a big meeting, it was like 68 people. And when I gave it to him, I just lost it. I started crying. And at that moment, I admitted that I was an alcoholic. And that was in 2000. I didn't do anything about it, but I knew that I had a problem because I was recognizing I had the same traits. I was doing the same exact thing. And when they would share, I was like, oh my God, I was identifying. So, circumstances. I met somebody that needed a job, and I was in a position where I could help them out. And we started talking. I was driving him to work. Little did I know that he was just fresh out of rehab. He was doing well. So for 9 months, I'd drive this guy to work. We would talk, and then we started talking deeply and getting to deeper conversations. And it was just one time, you know. He had a year sober, and I was leaving work. My girlfriend was threatening to leave. The job wasn't working out. And I just remember him calling me at 3:30 in the morning because we worked the same job, work nights. And he called me, and I remember he said, hey, how's things going at work? And I already left. I was on the side of the road crying because I was so hurting inside. And I told him what was going on, and we had a long talk. He talked to me for about 45 minutes on the side of the road. I got home like 5 a.m., he told me to come to his house the next day, and I went to his house, talked some more. And little did I know, he was waiting for me. He was in his backyard in the gazebo, and he had this blue book in front of him. And I was uncomfortable because I started to feel something I didn't understand. And so I sat down, and I was like, what's going on? He goes, well, you know who I am? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I'm an alcoholic, and the only way I know how to help you is through this book. This is the book that saved my life in the last 9 months that we were talking. Now, one of the things that were happening between this, that I was known that I had a problem, I was trying to do this on my own. So for 6 months, I would be sober, relapse, doing it completely on my own. And I don't recommend that to anybody. It was hell. It was worse than what I was drinking. So I went back. And then I tried it again. 6 months, didn't work out. I tried it again because my brother put the seed in my head. And he said, if you could quit, you know, and stay away from it for a year with no problems, and you, maybe you're not an alcoholic. So I wanted to prove him wrong. And I failed. I failed utterly at it because not only was I was sober for 6 months at a clip, but I was causing physical and mental harm to a lot of people, including my house, constantly taking doors off of hinges and a lot of anger, a lot of rage. So I'm sitting across from him, and I'm 7 months sober, and I'm ready to kill myself. That's what it came down to. So this book looked like a lot easier in the way I was doing it. I didn't know anything about it. I just said yes. I was scared. I was too scared to say no. I was too scared to say yes. I didn't know what the heck. So we just went through it. And that was it. That was when my journey began. And I just remember this. I remember hearing people when they said they put down the drink, it was the best thing they ever did. It's not my story. I don't know how to identify with that. You know, the book talks about how it's a symbol. Yeah, alcohol was my solution. It was my solution. It helped me. Until it didn't help me anymore. And I had to find a replacement, you know. And so I went through the steps the best way I did. And you know what? We sat down once a week. We held hands. We said a prayer. We lit a candle. And we read what this book meant with a dictionary and broke it down. I had a beautiful experience. Powerful. I remember my head was in the clouds. You know, people would call it a pink cloud. And I remember my great-grand sponsor came over to me. He goes, keep that pink cloud. There's nothing wrong with it. Just make sure your feet are firmly on the ground. And I got that. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I had some highs and lows, but I've been doing that ever since. So life was tough. Sober life is not easy. But it was meaningful and it was purposeful, and I was starting to change. And I was probably the last one to notice the change, but when I did notice it, I was like, wow. And for a moment, I thought I was doing it. For a moment, I thought I had the power. So real quick, I was like, well, maybe I am not an alcoholic. Maybe I can do this on my own. Those thoughts came. And immediately, I talked to my sponsor about it, and we smashed that theory. And how we did so is we looked in the book, and we've seen the three different types of drinkers. And I found my truth. And this was already going through the steps, but I found my truth that I was the real deal. And, you know, he explained to me very clearly that the real deal is the real deal. And he says it comes threefold. And he said, you have a physical craving that your body on its own wants more. And you can't do anything about it once it's in. And I can relate to that because that first time I did that shotgun I was telling you about, that was my experience. I had no control to stop. I couldn't stop if I wanted to. And it didn't happen to me every time, but it happened to me most of the times. So I learned real quick what the real deal is. And then he said, you know, you have this mental obsession too. And the mental obsession is very powerful, and it's sneaky and it's sly. And it doesn't mean that you're just obsessing over a drink. It means that you could do it on your own. It also means that I got this. It also looks like I'm okay now. Maybe I'm not. The mind's very tricky. So, and then we talked about spirituality, and I didn't really want to talk about it too much because I didn't know too much about it. I found that I had to talk about things that I only knew stuff about. And it was very humbling, and it was very scary. But we got into it. And I made it through the 12 steps. It was life-altering. It was changing. And I remember being at the end. We went through, and we were at the last page of Vision for You. And he goes, oh, by the way, here's Keith. He's your sponsee. And that's just the way they did it in New York. And I wasn't happy with it. I wasn't comfortable with it. But I started talking to the kid, and it was great. It was 2 days. And so I tried that. That was exciting, needless to say. And then all kinds of stuff happened. I started to feel better. I started to help a lot more people. I started to realize what this deal was about. It's about the 12th step. It's about carrying this message. The primary purpose, right? And, you know, I just want to read one thing because it's powerful and it affects me to this day presently. 102 on the bottom. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life. These motives and God's will keep you unharmed. That's like one of the biggest promises I've ever read. And that is so with me. Today when I work with others, I go to them. I don't make newcomers come to me. I don't make them, if it's not neutral ground, I go to them. And I try to give them as best as I can what I have. And it's through this book. I loved it. You know, congratulations to you guys just celebrated birthdays. And we were talking for a little while. And, you know, he said the most powerful thing. And it's all about helping. It's all about giving. That's the main purpose. When I get to the 12th step, it doesn't mean that I've arrived and I'm done. It means that I'm going out to give this away now. And I'm on a mission. So, you know, present day, I mean, in 2008, I moved out here. Life was good. Me and my wife decided to move cross country. And that lady stayed with me. Thank God. She stayed with me. And things are a lot better today. Things are beautiful. So in 2008, we decided to move to San Diego. We drive across country. It was a beautiful experience. And I fell short. I came down here and I went through the steps again. Because, you know, I come from a lineage of my sponsors back east. They said, you only go through the steps once. That's the only way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to take other people through the steps. But in 3 years later, I found myself in the bedevilments, restless, irritable, and discontent. And it wasn't working for me. So I had an experience of going through it once, and done theory wasn't working. So I went through it again. So now I have experience going through it again and again. And it's helped me and it's changed my life. And that's what I share with my sponsees and friends and anybody else. But as I go through these steps, the most powerful thing that I've ever experienced was watching somebody else grow in front of me, you know? To watch the eyes change, to watch the confusion, to watch the joy, to watch the peace enter their lives. I don't want to miss it. You know, I'm doing fifth steps a lot lately. I'm helping out a lot of guys for the first time, and it's an honor. It's a blessing. And Friday, I'm sitting there across another guy, and we're talking about the fifth step, and I'm giving him instructions on 6 and 7 on what's next. And he looked at me, and he goes, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. And I knew what he was talking about. I felt it. And I said, well, at this point, it's what God would have you be, not do. You know, we're human doers so much, and we're not learning how to be. And we talked about this, and he said to me these words, you're asking me to smell the number 9. As much as it was funny, it was powerful, and it was deep. It was very, very effective. And I understand that, because when I stand at 5, and I'm going to 6 and 7 with all my stuff, I think I have to do something about it. And I remember my first sponsor telling me, you don't roll up your sleeves and work on your character defects because you're just going to exercise them in front of everyone. So it's about turning it over. But it's hard. It's hard for us to turn it over. And I went through that experience, and we were talking about it, and we actually cried. We shed a tear. And we shed a tear tonight here too, because at the same time, we found a friend that didn't make it because of those fears. The fear of the unknown is very powerful. And what I've learned going through these steps over and over again is fear is everything that brings me to. It's on my inventory sheet. It's all about fear. It drives the crap out of me. And it is the core. It is the root that I have to grasp and hand over to God. I don't pull it out myself. I don't try to remove it, but I recognize it. I see it. I become aware, and I just let be. I let go. And that's the hardest thing I think anybody could ever do. And it is. It's like trying to explain it intellectually and trying to think about it is like smelling a number nine. It just don't work. So what in my experience, thank God for meditation and prayer, I get quiet. And it took me about 2 or 3 days myself a couple weeks ago. I was going through a hard time with it. And just to see him come through the other side. And then I'm working with another guy, a young guy who's here too, you know. And we're doing the fifth step. And there was one of them that he had a crazy story with. And he says to me, yeah, you know, I really don't want to talk to this person again. It was pretty crazy. But if I have to. And then he just stops and he's looking. And we're sitting down. I'm like, what's up? And he goes, oh, my God. That's her. And I said, who? And he goes, the one we were just talking about, I've written down. And she pulled up me. I was like, what? And he hasn't seen her in 3 years. She parked. She came over. She introduced herself. She said hello. They talked for a couple of seconds. And I was just like this. Right? So I was even kind of, I didn't even introduce myself, I don't think. I was just kind of like, in my mind, I was saying, thank you, God. Because this wasn't about me, but I'm just grateful to experience it. And these are the experiences that I've been experiencing. You know, in 2005, I got engaged. My brother went to rehab again because he relapsed, because he didn't know how to deal with the fear. And I had custody over his son for only 4 months, but it was a tall order. I got engaged, next thing you know, I have a kid, and he's 5 years old. So, yeah, it was funny, it was scary, it was weird, I don't even know how to say it, but I did the best I could. And I don't know what that looked like, but I did the best I could. I didn't want him to go into foster care, so I took care of him for 4 months. They got out of rehab. And in this time, my brother treated me and my wife like hell, because he's seen it as we were taking him away. But we did it legally, so if he did relapse again, or he did leave rehab, that the kid wasn't going to that situation. So we kept him. And we kept him for about 4 or 5 months. We did the court system, and they got him back. So that's, you know, 2005. And I've been resentful to my brother a lot. He's been a lot of my inventory sheets. So present day, you know, we talk now. I'm not resentful no more. God has lifted that resentment. God has lifted that fear behind it. Thank God. But he calls me up on Father's Day. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, none. I was just sitting here. So I wish him a happy Father's Day. And he's like, you know who called me? And I'm like, who? He goes, my son Dominic. Now, they're not living together. They live in different states. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. He hasn't talked to him in a while. And this is the same kid that, you know, I took care of for a little while. And he started crying. I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, a lot's going on. I don't know what to say. I just wanted to say happy Father's Day to you. And I was like, what? And it gets me emotional because he said, you're the best father I've ever known. He never made an amends to me. He never apologized for his actions. He didn't need to. I forgave him a long time ago. But he called me up on Father's Day to wish me happy Father's Day. And he said, I was talking to Dom, and he said the same. He said, you took care of him better than anybody I know. And I was just bawling. And I just said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And my wife was crying because my wife was like, he said, what? And it took 12 years, 10 years, whatever it was. But, and you know what the greatest thing about this whole thing is? I didn't need it. I wasn't looking for it. I didn't care about it. And I just said, thank you. And I cried with him. And I said, that was beautiful of you. And I really appreciate hearing that. And it was just awesome. And these are the experiences I get to have today. And when I hear about people relapsing, dying, This is not easy. It's not easy to go through. I mean, it's easy to sit in a fellowship and just hang out. That's easy because I did that too. It's not easy to get a sponsor to go through the steps. It's not easy to work this thing. And I'm not trying to say anything other. I just know from my own experience and from what I hear other people do. But the experience is powerful and it's amazing. And I wouldn't want anybody to miss it. Because I have a life today that I couldn't even dream of writing down. Going through the steps again thoroughly. Seeing the second step and knowing that I have present-day agnosticism. And it's usually rooted in my present-day fear, you know. And I don't see that until I actually go to it. So I'm really grateful to go through this work. I'm really grateful that people in my life. I'm really grateful for the people that showed up to support me tonight. You know, my home group is called, it's in the book, in La Mesa. We meet on 6:30 Monday nights. And it's a small, intimate group, but we go through the steps. It's a powerful AA meeting. And we have a real powerful group there. And it's helped me a lot in the last 5 or 6 years. And I'm the GSR member for that meeting. I'm involved with those concepts. You know, I'm not just a step pusher. I go through the traditions quite often, and I'm involved in the concepts right now. And it's crazy because when you go to GSR meeting and you start talking to people and as a group, and they say, you know, how's your meeting go? Are you effectively bringing the solution to the meeting? Are you effectively bringing the solution to the newcomers? I'm like, wow, I'm amazed. Because I thought it was all in the steps, but what I noticed the traditions too. They really make you respect the meeting. They make you respect the authority. I mean, it's a miracle. And then when you get involved with the concepts, you see the AA as a whole. You know, it's a true pleasure to be involved in all 36 principles. You know, I used to think that just doing the steps was enough. And this AA is big. It's enormous. And it has a seat for all of us. And the one thing I could say is going through this process, my life keeps getting better. It keeps getting simpler. And the only thing I could say that's different now in the last 5 years is that I'm working the steps more often. I have a lot more sponsees. I'm helping a lot more. I'm a lot more involved in AA. And check this out. I have a lot of home time. I have a lot of time for my wife. Matter of fact, my schedule is very easy to maintain. And I do not have a problem living up to those. I don't want to say it's a job, but any of those situations, whether they're in the meetings, at home, my social life, my work life, I have no problem meeting the demand. And I do it pretty easily. And it was a struggle for a little while. It would go back and forth. You know, I kind of like would, that circle and triangle, I would kind of go around halfway, stop, fall off, jump back on. And it's just an experience. But, you know, I have a sponsor, and his name is Pat T, and he's from Colorado, and I'm from New York, and we rub real well together. I've had many sponsors in the past and circumstances. You know that first sponsor I was telling you about? He didn't believe in going through the steps again, and he relapsed. And he's been out ever since. And it's, I don't know why me. I don't know why us. I don't know why. I don't know why. I just, the one thing I do know is that going through this work, going through the book, it brings me closer to God. Whatever that God is for you. And I don't do it on my own. I don't do it in my head intellectually. I do it with another person. And I think the most humbling thing is when I go through to work with a sponsee is knowing that I have to walk this too. Not to just be a chatterbox, but I have to live this lifestyle. And what's even more humble than that is as I'm helping them, I go and sit down with my sponsor and I do step work presently. It doesn't matter how much time. Time to me is, it's just time. but going through the work thoroughly, spreading this work, giving this away as much as I possibly can. Now that's a life. You know, I remember having a guy in my meeting a while back in New York, and he used to say, scream it. You know, you're only supposed to go through the steps once. And he would just go off on it. And I remember seeing him come in the same meeting screaming and yelling and cursing at a newcomer because he relapsed. And I remember saying to myself, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that with many years sober. I don't want to be like that. And the difference was that I'd be willing today, presently willing, to do whatever it takes, just like I was when I first got here. We made an agreement when I sat down with my sponsor, willing to go to any lengths. And I signed my name to that. Today, I'm gifted beyond all words. It's beyond intellect. It's beyond thinking. And it shows up with people that help me, that I help. It shows up in watching people stay sober, seeing other people's lives change. I can't say enough about these steps. Just got done with 6 and 7. One of the things that I had a hard time with was my mother-in-law just left to Seattle. She was my rock when I got here in 2008 to San Diego, my security blanket. Nice house. Anything happens, we could go there. It's all taken care of. There's nothing but love. And my mom passed away when I was, you know, 23. So she was the mom, the new mom. And with my mother-in-law, I never would have thought I would build a relationship like that. And all she's just going to Seattle. But, you know, for me, I think she's going away and never coming back. So one of the things was my behavior, my fear. And what it was is, I don't see my fear. I don't see my delusion. My best efforts, I cannot see it unless I put it on pen and paper, unless I sit down across from somebody and do this work. And when I seen it, I was like, oh, my God, this is like childhood stuff. When we moved upstate from the city and alone, abandonment issues, and again, here again. And, you know, page 133 is very powerful. Therapy is definitely recommended. Mental help is definitely recommended in AA. And throughout your sobriety, it says it right on page 133, so don't just believe me, read the book. Because I needed that. I needed a lot of help. And I took that help and I ran with it. And I'm still running with it. I just know when I was doing therapy before AA, it didn't work too good. I wasn't too honest. He's like, you doing anything? And I'm like, no, I'm totally sober. And I would walk out there and hit, do whatever. But the thing is now with the steps, traditions, and the concepts in my life, sponsors, sponsees, AA as a whole, doing therapy has been amazing. Very cognitive, this book is, and it's very supportive of everything that I've been going through. And I was able to see it, you know, and my sponsor gave me clear directions. He goes, you know what to do. If you have to take more than an hour, take more than an hour, but definitely sit in quiet. Review the first 5 proposals. Give to God everything. And I was scared. Like my friend, I was scared. I didn't know how to do it. I was trying to intellectualize it. And then 3 days later, I was like, wow, I have a whole new perspective, a whole new ideology, a whole new thought pattern. It wasn't on my part. I don't know what happened. Some emotions got rearranged. Something. So this is why I continue to do this work, because it changes my life. And you know what? If we really think about it, relationships, friendships, family. I have family members that are suffering from this disease. in the worst way possible. And ain't nothing I could do. I pray. I have friends who have family members suffering. We talk. I pray. I meditate. I'm blessed beyond words. I don't even know what to say. I just know that AA was there for me like I would have never imagined it to be. And it grows consistently in a new place. I'm in a new place. I'm on new ground. My roots have grasped new soil once again. I didn't even think it was possible, again, to be heightened to another level. And I don't even know what that is. I stand before you. I'm going through it right now, so I don't know what it looks like. I know beautiful things are coming. I don't know what that is. But that's the hope I have today. And that's why I say I'm a recovered alcoholic. Because I'm not hopeless, mentally or physically, anymore. So I am recovered from that. It is beautiful to be hopeful. It is beautiful to be of perfect ease and comfort. Now, am I there every day? No. Most of the times, though. Maybe most of the day now. But that's all because I did this work. It's all because I continue to do the work. And I don't even like to call it work anymore because I don't really look at it as work. I look at it as, these are my spiritual tools. This is part of my exercise. This is part of my breathing. It's part of, you know, I sleep 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. Well, I don't sleep 8 hours anymore, but 5, 6, or 7 hours sleep. It's the same thing with going through this work and helping other people and doing the deal, getting involved with GSR, getting involved with traditions, getting involved with AA as a whole. And there's so many different levels of this service, too. You know, setting up, that's a big deal. Making coffee, that's a big deal, too. And one thing I learned in GSR is that there's black meetings. I'm like, what the heck is a black meeting, right? So a black meeting is they're not registered to GSR. They're not registered as a participating meeting. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. And just in La Mesa, there's a lot of them. So it's like getting involved on a different level and to really understand what AA is trying to do here. It's amazing. And in AA, it was the only place. Remember that time when they did the flag? It was Flag Day. I think it was the 80-year celebration. And it was right in the other room. And I remember being there. We were watching it live. Or maybe it wasn't live, but we were watching the video of it. And it was all these different countries holding the flags, getting involved. And there it was, Iran and Iraq, hugging. I was blown away. In AA. In AA. It amazes me. There's so much, you know, there's so much here. And I'm only talking about my experience of it. And that's just a little. There's so much for me to even learn. But there's so much. And that's why when you go to a meeting and you're sitting down and you're listening to a meeting and here we are, there's a topic and everybody's sharing a different experience. It's beautiful how it works because I'll share what I have experience with, right? 2 or 3 minutes on that particular topic. Somebody else will share on the same topic their experience, and it's completely different than mine, but it fits perfectly. And then by the time the end of the meeting goes, it's amazing because there's so much more. Not one person could cover it all, and that's why it's such an amazing thing. I learned so much. Now, I don't make as many meetings as I used to, and there's a reason for that. Because I realized real quick that the meetings ain't the thing that's keeping me sober. It's getting closer relationship with God through the work that's in this blue book. And I mean that with the most humility as I possibly can muster, because meetings are great. But what I try to do is I get the meetings that feed me and the other meetings I go to feed. The work is where it's at, helping somebody across the table one-on-one, just like Bill and Bob did. That's all they did was sit across from the table. You know, I hear people, you know, going through the steps a lot of different ways, and there's many ways. I've been through the steps, I think, 8 different ways. I had great experiences with them all. The current way I'm going through it now has been most profound, so I keep doing it. It works well, but It baffles me when I hear people say they're doing it with people 10 miles away over the phone. Or not even just telling them to read something and call them back. But if it works, it works. I'm not saying that I have a vendetta against it. I'm just saying that Bill and Bob sat across the table from one another. Eye to eye. You know, even then there was no book. They were sharing their experience, the first six proposals from the Oxford group. So they had, and even Dr. Silkworth. I mean, in a doctor's opinion, I don't know how many, my sponsor is so well versed in the history of AA. Dr. Silkworth would take people through a detox, 3 to 5 days. First day detox, some vitamins. Second day detox, vitamins. Third day. And on the fourth day, they would hand them over to alcoholics that have recovered to go through the steps. I was like, whoa. And then when they got through the steps and they were done with their program, they had alcoholics come and pick them up and take them to the meeting. Man, that was beautiful. That's beautiful, powerful. And that's kind of like what I like to... AA is big. AA is huge. It's constantly changing, and I just pray that I accept all the changes that go along with it. And I'm still learning at this deal. The only thing I could say is I hope you guys got something out of this. I don't even remember. I was on autopilot. It was an honor to be here. I probably didn't share anything I wanted to share, hopefully. It helps somebody. But it's beautiful to be here. It's beautiful to see all these beautiful people. And especially this. This is a beautiful thing. This is amazing. I love this. I totally love this. I mean, we're here to help anybody to get the message. And that's what it's all about. The message of hope. And that's what I have today, and that's all I want to offer to anybody else. Work with somebody and lift the rest of us up. Let's everybody lift each other up. It's so easy to put somebody down. Somebody probably in here is fighting a battle that doesn't want to talk about it. We're all here to lift each other up and take us through the solution. And that's the only thing I try to do. I try to do it to the best of my ability. With the support of my wife and my friends and my home group, thank you all for showing. I appreciate it.